Praise God. Thank you, Lord. How many of you ever went back? You've read something and you went back and read it again and seen something the second time you didn't see the first time. Well, as song service was going forth, everything that I had that I thought I was going to do or say changed. So the Lord said, we need to go back. God wants to change the mindset of people this morning. You know, sometimes we faced with situations, we faced with things that brings question. And I thought about a statement Brother Josh made Thursday about the truth. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth because we can't take the truth. We can't handle it. But listen to me. If we've ever grabbed a hold to the truth of God's word, we better grab a hold of it and allow God to lead us by his spirit. You know, sometimes we plan or we schedule things and it's tested. And I remember making plans to go off and preach. And I was leaving in the morning and had to preach that night 10 hours away. But it's like everything we'd done to prepare to leave early that morning was hindered. And it brings, when that happens, it brings question. And sometimes God hinders things from happening and we blame the devil. See, we need to know the difference between the spirits. We need to know when it's God and when it's the enemy. You know, little did I know that an hour and a half down the road, I come up on one of the most horrible accidents I've ever seen. And instantly in my spirit, the Spirit of God said, this is why you were hindered. This is why you didn't leave at the time you planned on leaving. I protected you from this. But you know, a lot of times God tries to protect us not only from natural things happening, but spiritual. But we say, well, Lord, I read this 15 times. We'll go back and read it again. No, in the morning, every morning, I get my phone and I put my Bible on. And for a long time, I just done the four Gospels. And the Spirit of God said, when I got to the end of John one morning, just keep going till you get to the end of the Revelations. You know, and it takes time. It takes about a month of listening to Scripture every morning before you leave, and you could go through the whole New Testament. But when I got to the end of Revelations, God said, okay, now go back and start in Genesis. The reason is there's something from the time before that I missed. So I need to go back. If you hear, well, I know you're here because God wouldn't have laid it on my heart and he wouldn't have showed me what he showed me. You ever found yourself right back where you started? You know, most of the time when we find ourselves right back where we started, it's because we fail to listen to the Spirit of God. No, there's different levels in the knowledge of God. People that study and just, you know, they study and study and study, they're going to be at a different level than we are as far as knowledge. If we don't study, we won't have as much knowledge. But oftentimes, when something goes wrong, we go back, or we want to go back to the natural thing, and we start questioning God. Listen to me. It's time that we start walking it out. Some of us here, we've had physical things happen, a physical attack in our body. It's time that we start walking out our healing. Walk out what God said in His Word. But see, sometimes we lose sight of it. We fail to remember what Jesus really done. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me when I was standing right back there during the song service. When the second song, He said, if you or this people would have really got it, He said, worship would have been different. If we would have really grabbed a hold and understood what Jesus really done, worship would have been different. See, what happens is, I can come here and I can give them a story and tell them, I need $500. And there ain't a doubt in my mind that I can get it. And I can go on and do what I told them I'm going to do with it. And then a few months later, because they done it the first time, the natural thing is, let's go back to who done it before. You know, if you keep doing that, eventually they're going to get tired of giving you the $500. Because at some point, you know, you might be in a hole, you might be in a situation, you might be in a bind. But at some point, you got to learn how on your own to start making it on your own. To start trusting God on your own. To start trusting God and believe in what His Word says and start walking it out. You know, there was a statement made yesterday. Me and Brother Eddie's on a boat, and this car passes and Jackson's in it. And he said, go over there. I know those guys. So they come and the guy walks up. He says, I came over here because he said he knows y'all. And we got to talking, and he's talking about he had a stroke or a couple of strokes. But in his mind, he done made up his mind, this is the way he's going to be the rest of his life. He's doing things to hide the natural symptoms and the physical symptoms to just try to get strength in his body. But in his mind, he decided this is what it's going to be. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am the God that healeth thee. And at no point did I ever see in God's word that he went and he took that healing away from us. See, Jesus paid a price. Jesus took stripes. Who has a King James Version? Just the regular King James Version. The NIV says it a little different. It's more plain. But listen to me. Jesus suffered. He suffered. My Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 53. You know, sometimes what we need to do is we need to go back to it. We need to go back and see what Jesus really went through. Go read Isaiah chapter 53, then read the four Gospels. And it tells us plainly what Jesus done so that you and I can walk out our healing. Walking it out ain't sitting down saying, well, the devil attacked me. I'm trusting God, but this is how I'm going to be. Listen, that ain't trusting God. The first thing we have to do is understand that the price was paid. The price was paid. And then we got to begin to live it and walk it out. How many of you lately, because they've been down here, you had the vacuum cleaner come wanting to clean your car, the vacuum cleaner people wanting to clean your carpet and show you how good it is. Well, evidently, next time they come to my house, I need to get the dictionary and show them what the word no means. Because they just don't understand it. They can't grasp it. They were there again the other day. I don't need you to come clean my car, but we already have a vacuum cleaner. Listen to me. It don't matter if you go to Walmart and pay $19.99, or you go to I don't even know the name of the thing. All I know is it was way too much money. Or if it costs $1,000, if you don't use it, it don't do you no good. They want to come clean your carpet. Let me show you how it works. I was in the shop the other day and they texted me, come out here, the vacuum cleaner people's here. They want to get in your house. No means no. No means go back to your little van, get in it, start your motor, put it in gear and go. We're not interested. Go sell your little vacuum cleaner to somebody else. But see, they keep coming. They keep coming. You know, like the little dude in the truck with the steaks. If you ever buy them once, they coming. Well, they done bought them once. Let me go back. That little man came to my house and I said, listen, we bought them once. But right now, I can't afford none. Well, I'll give them to you for this price. He kept going down. I said, well, when you get to free, you got a deal. Because I don't have no money. But when you get to free, I'll take them. See, sometimes you got to explain to them what no means. Well, when I say free, he got his little truck and he rolled on off. Let me go find me somebody else. But you see, they're consistent. Think about it. They're consistent. Listen. When everybody started moving back after Katrina, those people that were selling those vacuum cleaners, they remembered every person they sold one to and they came back. And they came back. I'll never forget when I came home and my wife said, I bought a vacuum cleaner. $1,500. I said, well, it should vacuum the carpet on its own. It should scrub the floors. It should wash the clothes. And when I'm ready to eat, it should serve me. Well, it didn't do all of that. The only way it vacuumed is if you turned it on and used it. See, it don't matter what it cost. Unless we turn it on, plug it in, turn it on and use it, it does no good. And this is what happens. unless we get in it and apply it and use it, it does no good. You say, well, I have my Bible open on my when we were kids, it stayed on a coffee table. I just always wondered why they don't just call it a Bible table. But if it's never, you can have it open, but if you don't apply it, what good it does? You know, you can go out to your car right now, crank it up, and sit in it. Turn the air conditioner or the heater on, whatever you prefer. You can even get the music going. But until you put it in gear and start driving it, you're not going nowhere. And there's several of us here this morning. You know what God's waiting on? For us to put it in gear. Listen to me. How long has it been since Pastor and I were in India, in Nepal? How many months? It's been a while. Well, there's some people sitting here this morning that way back then God gave me a word for you. Because there's a decision that has to be made. I can't make it. Your pastor can't make it. The person sitting next to you, or in the front of you, or behind you, can't make it. You have to make it on your own. But it's time that we start walking it out. It's time that we start living it out. But it has to become real to us right here. Not here. This is what gets us in trouble when it comes real right here. It has to come real to us right here. When we get it in our heart, it'll cause God's Spirit to renew our mind. And we'll start serving Him with our heart, and then we'll get our mind in the right place. My message this morning was about being vigilant and just watching and being prepared. But we can't be vigilant and watchful and being ready for Jesus to come if our mind's not in the right place. The only way to get your mind right is to get your heart right with God, and then He starts controlling our mind. He starts controlling our thinking. He starts controlling how we feel and things that we do. But we got to want it. We got to change things that we say, things that we do. In other words, we need to start thinking before we speak it. Because a lot of times we speak things, and then a few minutes later, it's like, I shouldn't have said that. But see, we speak it, and we speak it, and we speak it, then we start living it. We start believing it. And we find ourselves worse than we ever were. Physically, spiritually, financially, in all these areas. See, God's trying to teach us a principle on how to keep what He gives us and become more aware and not forget what Jesus done. See, He never asked us to go to the cross. He just said, carry your cross. Mm-hmm. Said He didn't ask us to go to the cross. He said, carry our cross. You know, think about it. When they went to the garden, they arrested Jesus after they beat him. And they got that guy to carry his cross. They didn't ask him to go and be crucified. They just said, carry his cross. And we better learn how to be willing to carry our cross. So we better learn how to be willing to carry our cross. See, God's trying to prepare us for this time we're living. When nobody else is around, and there ain't no music playing, there ain't nobody sitting next to us, and it's the still of the night, and the enemy shows up, we better be in a place with God to know how to handle it. We better be in a place with God to know how to take control of every situation that's thrown our way. But we'll never get there without a real, true, God-led relationship. You know, we can get the young people to put on skits, and you know, they dropped some of the hate and the bitterness and all the different things that they shouldn't have had in their life. They dropped it into that well. And they picked up other stuff with love and caring and you know, just all of these other things. We can do with that all we want, but until we get it right here. I said, until we get it right here. But we have to come to a complete realization of what Jesus really done. And that's what the Lord showed me. I'm going to read Isaiah 53. I'm going to read that whole chapter. And as I begin to read, see, what people get used of is, this is what they get used of. Come, let me pray for you. Let me give you a word. And that's, you know, come, let me pray for you. Well, I got a word for you. You know, and if you don't get called out, if you don't get brought up to the front by some man, we feel like we ain't been in church. Listen to me. Your favorite evangelist or your favorite preacher, when all the lights are turned out and ain't nobody else around and there's an attack from the enemy, or your baby wakes up in the middle of the night with 101 fever, you know what? Your favorite preacher's not there. Your favorite evangelist is not there grabbing you by the hand saying, let me pray for you. But we need to know who God is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to come to a complete realization of what Jesus really done and call out to God, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt we can take authority over that, and that baby could be healed and the fever's got to go. Listen to me. You know where sickness has authority? You know where it has power? Where we allow it to have it. Because Jesus paid the price. He took stripes for every sickness that has ever hit anybody in the world. It's already been paid for. We got to learn how to walk in it. We got to learn how to live in it. We got to learn how to want it. Listen, more than once, more than once. I had sickness attack me and was prayed for and felt the healing virtues of Jesus. But that very thing that I felt I got healed from, it wasn't but a few weeks later that the pain would come back. That's where it becomes a choice. That's where you and I have to step in and grab a hold of God's word and do what the word says and rebuke it, not allow it to come back. You think for a moment the devil's just going to sit back and let you think or let you walk out of healing without fighting? Listen, for a long time, when I got home from the hospital, for a long time, right up in here, hurt bad. But I remember laying on that couch, and the pain would come just hard. My wife don't have a clue how bad it hurt. And I just stayed in myself, Father, I thank you that Jesus healed me. I'll not allow this pain to stay here, and it would go. And I'd be laying there. And then hours later, it would start again. But I had to continually take control of it, continually. Listen, we need to start controlling what comes into our body. How? By the Spirit of God. By God's Spirit. You know why Jesus done what he done? Because of willingness to please the Father. Are we going to go through things? Absolutely. But thank God, we have an advocate with the Father. So we have an advocate with the Father. Listen, he chose us. Said he chose us. It wasn't because he was bored. It wasn't because he didn't have nothing else to do. But he chose us. And the Bible says he searched and he searched and he searched. And he couldn't find one. And then he searched again. He said, if there's nothing else, he said, I'll send my son. See, a lamb wouldn't do it. A ram wouldn't do it. It took the willingness of his son, his only begotten son. Listen, you can't preach this just anywhere. There's churches in America, when you start talking about giving Jesus all the glory, some of them would literally ask you to leave because that preacher's got to get the glory. You know, they done got so big. Yes, Lord. Listen to me. Oh, my. If you're sending your money, if you're sending your money to some TV preacher, you need to go back to your house, find you a place where it's just you and God and reevaluate your life. Because I ain't never heard of one of them showing up at a hospital. Listen, several years back, this lady was in a hospital. Pastor knew somebody she knew. And Jesse the pianist was her preacher. It's like every day she just had to hear him. She's laying in this hospital bed. And she said, "Lord, if you'll just send Jesse." Well, little did she know, the person she knew called Pastor Jesse and said, "Hey, so-and-so's in the hospital. Can you come up here?" He got in his car and he went up. And he introduced himself. He said, "I'm Jesse Morris." She said, "I just asked the Lord to send Jesse." She meant Jesse the pianist. What was the chances of that happening? But when he told her name, see, in her heart she meant Jesse the pianist, but when she spoke, she said, "God send Jesse." And when he introduced himself and he said, "My name's Jesse Morris," she said, "I just asked the Lord to send Jesse. She said, "I meant Jesse the pianist, but I didn't say no last name." Listen, when God does that and we still can't get it, what is it going to take? You know, God will honor what we ask. But then we have to learn what it is to take him at his word and grab hold of his word and walk it out every day. Live it out every day. So don't think. You know, I told my wife, I said, we were going to go back. To the church that we went to after Katrina, we were just going to go back. Because there was a lot of things happened there. We met some people and, you know, people, the pastor helped us a lot and different people in the church helped us. And when I inquired about going back, contacting a pastor, he wasn't there no more. Something happened. Because, listen, the pastor invited me back to his office during the week. You had to go through a receptionist, an assistant, and then another guy took you back there. I thought maybe I was a terrorist or something. I mean, I'm just going to want to talk to the pastor. I didn't know I'm not at the White House. I'm at a church. But something happened after Katrina. They visited Baton Rouge. And he began to work with people. And he came, this is what I was told, he came to a realization in his life that being in a church with 4,000 or 5,000 people where you don't go up. Listen, when church was over, when we went, he wasn't standing at the back door when we left. In fact, nobody was. He went straight off the platform through a back door, back to his office, through the back, into his car and left. But he came to a realization, I can't be effective unless I'm dealing with people hand in hand. And God brought him to a smaller church that he could be with people and work with them one on one. You know, that's what God wants. I shouldn't have to go through 15 people to get to talk to a pastor. But a lot of churches in America, that's how it's set up. And look, not every time, even though we're a small church, even though we're a small group, not every time that you call, your phone call is going to be answered while it's ringing. But you know what? When we go to God, when we go here. You know, I ain't never called on Jesus and heard voicemail hadn't been set up yet. Or at the tone, leave a message. But he was always there. Was it always exactly when I thought it should be? No. But he was always on time. Always on time. It might have not been my timing. It might have not been when I felt like it should have happened, but he was always on time. You know why? He knows what's best. But it comes by a communication through the Spirit in having a relationship with him. Listen, I'm on my way to Alabama. I'm right outside of New Orleans, between New Orleans and Slidell, and I'm driving. And in my spirit, this is what I hear. Slow down and be vigilant. So I slow down and I'm watching. And about six cars ahead of me, for some reason, I'm watching and I'm looking. This car goes off the road and just starts flipping. But I could have turned a deaf ear. I said I could have turned a deaf ear. Was it God's will for somebody else for it to happen to somebody else? No. But because of a relationship. Because there was an appointment that had to be made. God said, slow down and be vigilant. Instantly, when I seen the car started flipping, I started praying. Just speaking life, speaking life. See, sometimes in our walk with God, we want to do it in a fast pace. We want to do it so fast that when we're going from here to there, we miss what God has. Sometimes we need to slow down and be vigilant. We need to watch. We need to pay attention. We need to listen. See, we don't want to listen because most of the time it's not what we really want to do at that time. But as I begin to read this, I want them to start playing something real slow, real low, and I'm going to read this. And I'm going to tell you, this is what I've seen. So I'm standing there. As I begin to read that chapter, I'm going to read the whole chapter. This is what the Lord showed me. God already dealt with you. The reason you're sitting where you're sitting is because God appointed this time for you. And some of you, there's some serious decisions you have to make in your life. Because the area you've been going through, the thing you've been going through, the area you have been, some of you, it's affecting your mind. And when it affects our mind, it affects our heart and how we serve God. There's some of us here that had we not slowed down. Some of us slowed down so much that it caused us to pull a U-turn. And we went back to what we were. And only by the grace of God, we're here. But as I begin to read, and the Spirit of God comes. Listen, I'm not going to come and do this. I'm not going to pull you by your hand and get you to come up here. But you know what? You're going to feel right here. You're going to feel the Spirit of God as He reaches in. God's not going to grab you on your shoulder. He's not going to grab your hand, but He's going to reach down to your heart. And you're going to literally feel the hand of God by His Spirit when it reaches down and it touches your heart. And when you feel it, it don't matter at what point of the reading I'm in. I'm going to completely read that whole chapter. It might be when I read the first, second, third verse. When you feel it, I want you to get up out of your seat. And I want you to walk down here. And God, by His Spirit, by His anointing, not because somebody's going to come and touch you, not because somebody's going to come and hug you. Listen, the greatest hug we could get this morning is going to have to come from the Spirit of God. Because you can reach over and hug the person next to you, and when you take your arms off of them, the feeling goes away. But when God hugs you, when God wraps His arms around you by His Spirit, it causes a relationship. So when you feel it, just get up out of your seat and come down here. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Listen, the pretty picture you have on your wall, the pretty picture you have of who Jesus is, when they finished beating him, he wasn't a sight to look on. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed through our iniquities. The chastening of our whole well-being fell upon him. And by his scorning we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. The King James Version says, by his stripes. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, he considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, in the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge and righteous one, my servant, will I justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore will I allow him a portion with the great, and will divide the booty with him strong, the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and increased for the righteous transgressions. Listen, it was painful. He hurt. He bled. But he bore it. Why? For you and I. For you and I. This is why Jesus done it. Because when he couldn't find nobody else, when nothing else would do. See, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we lose sight of what Jesus really done. Listen. There's some of you here this morning, when I begin to read, the devil sat right beside you. And he said, if you get up and walk up there, what are they going to think about you? See, if I'd asked everybody to stand, and I'd asked everybody to close their eyes, I'd have said, nobody looking around, there would have been a different response in who was standing here. But listen to me. When they came to the garden, so when they came to the garden and they took him into the city and they tied him to the whipping post, and they begin a beating. So they begin a beating. They begin to put stripes on him. He begin to bear the iniquity of the world. Listen, they didn't send somebody ahead of him. When they untied him and said, take this cross, you're fixing to be led to Calvary. You're fixing to be led to Golgotha's Hill. They didn't go and send somebody ahead and say, everybody close your doors, everybody go inside, nobody look out the window, nobody coming out. But they publicly made him an example. Everybody was looking at him. Listen, when he passed, people were standing outside their house. They began to mock him. They began to spit on him. They began to hit him. Sometimes we lose sight of what Jesus really done. You say, preacher, how you know that? I could tell by what we do when it comes time to give him honor and give him glory. And I can tell you, there's three people that you feel like you're an Israelite because your life has been going around in circles and around in circles and around in circles. Listen to me. You know what a circle will get you? Death. A circle will get you death. The children of Israel murmured and complained so bad that the ones that God took out of Egypt, they died wandering around in the wilderness and going in circles because they failed to hear God. You know what they wanted? They wanted something they can walk up to and touch. But you see the problem with having a God that you can walk up to and touch, that's tangible and you can literally feel it with your hands? whenever the battle really gets to getting hot and you don't know which way you're going to turn, and that image that they made is nowhere in sight, what you going to do then? But you know what? When you have a relationship with God, listen, some of the greatest times I've ever had in God was just me and nobody else around. I was either in my truck or on a boat or off somewhere, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God would just show up. There's some of you here this morning, if God would come and sit next to you and start talking to you, it would literally scare you. It's how long it's been since you had a conversation with Him. Listen, I'm on my way to Biloxi. I'm on Interstate 10. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God shows up. And He says, hey, listen, I have a job for you. And Pastor Tony Wright was here. The Lord gave me a word for him. And I went sitting in that building. And I told him everything God showed me that day. Little did we know, God took him out of a mess and he was about to go get right back in it. And I looked at him dead in his eyes and said, brother, God has a place for you. Listen, God's not going to take you out of a mess to allow you to go right back into it. He's not going to take you out of Egypt to let you go back. But that's what He was about to do. Listen, I was told a man was here for Koinonia several years before, and I don't even remember him. You say, how important was it? Listen, that day, I got on the phone. And I begin to call. God say, call right now. Nobody answered the phone. So I came that night to service. We were having service that night. And he wasn't in the service. So I walked over to that building. Begin to share what the Lord said. See, God will always let us know the right way to go. But we got to be willing to walk it out. We got to be willing to walk it out. See, I don't have to go and be tied to a whipping post. You don't have to go and be tied to a whipping post and take stripes on your back to be healed. Jesus already paid for it. Said it's already paid for. We got to walk it out. We got to live it out. We're just going to wait another few seconds. But I will forewarn you. If you fail to step out in faith this morning, don't start blaming God when the enemy attacks. Don't start blaming God when we're sitting there and the enemy's attacking and everything starts going wrong and we're wondering, what am I going to do next? Right now is your time. This is your time. See, this is where it becomes personal. This can't be, well, I'm going to go up there where my friend does. Listen, if that would work, all of America would be saved. I've been in services where one person would get up and 10 more would come running behind them. But they came with the wrong heart attitude saying, look at me. No, it don't matter if I see what you're doing. Don't matter if the other people in the church sees what you're doing. But how does God see us? How does God see us? It's your choice. It's personal. Listen, I might not be your favorite preacher. I might not be the guy that you like speaking. But let me tell you something, whether you like me or not, whether I'm your favorite preacher or not, because listen to me, if we can't get in the Word of God and Jesus be our Savior, your favorite preacher ain't going to get you there. If Jesus is the door. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And if you can't feel the tugging. Listen, I feel the heaviness of the tugging hand of God. You say, well, how critical is this morning? Some of you are so critical, it's going to determine whether or not you're going to continue to serve God. Is that critical? In other words, I'm going to put it to you as natural as I can. Some of you are in this condition. It's like you just got wheeled into the trauma center. And they're about to take you down to ICU and put you on life support. See, I've been to hospitals where people were hooked on life support. And I've been to hospitals where they pulled through. But I also been in hospitals where that person was hooked on life support and a family signing a paper saying, I'm signing right here, unplug the machine. Well, listen, Jesus is not signing. I said, Jesus is not signing this morning. But he says, I'm your life support. Come and plug into me. Come and plug into me and let me give you life. But we're sitting there saying, well, if my friend goes, I'm going. It's not about your friend this morning. It's not about your husband. It's not about your wife. It's not about your children. It's about a committed relationship to God. Do you think this service went this way just because there was nothing else to do? Listen to me. This service went the way it went. The reason I was standing back there and God said, this is what you're going to do. You're not going to do what you planned on doing. You're not going to do what you thought you were doing. But this is what you're going to do. Because some of you, spiritually, your life is in critical condition. Listen, They have monitors on people in critical condition. There's nurses watching people on critical condition. They check them often. They continually taking vital signs. Listen to me. Over the last few months, over the last year, over the last few weeks, the last few days, you know what Jesus has been doing? He's been taking vital signs, and he's finding that some of us' blood pressure spiritually is pretty low. Some of us is in a critical condition, and we need to yield to the drawing spirit of God and get our life where God needs it to be, and let him be our life support. Yes, Lord. Yes. But preacher, you just don't understand. If I totally commit to God through Jesus, I can't do what I've been doing. That's what he's trying to get you from. That's what he's trying to get you from. Well, you just don't know how hard it's been for me. No, I might not know, but he does. He's trying to get you out of that. Said he's trying to get you out of that. See, some of you said, if I'd have knew this, I wouldn't even came. Some of you, about this point, you're ready to leave. I should have just stayed home this morning. Listen, you're here by a divine appointment because the Spirit of God drew you here. You say, well, preacher, how critical is it? It's so critical you can't afford to live another day without getting what God has for you this morning. You want me to tell you how much I know? Some of you even said this. It would be so much easier if somebody would just come grab me by the hand. Listen, if you can't hear God, if you can't feel his tugging by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, by his the drawing Spirit of God, if you can't feel that, you feeling my hand slip into your hand is not going to help you. You say, well, how dependent does people get upon people? You go to any church in America and renounce a revival, you know what's the first question asked? Who's coming? If it's not our favorite evangelist, we don't even show up. Listen to me. When it's to serve God and edify God and get people drawn to the Spirit of God, it shouldn't matter who's coming. Furthermore, we shouldn't allow people to come and preach unless they preach in the truth of God's word. Unless they're willing to speak the truth of God's word. It don't matter how many churches they've been in. It don't matter how many conventions they done preached or crusades they done preached. If they're not preaching the truth of God's word, we need to not even fool with it. But I'm telling you the truth of God's word this morning. You will not make it without Jesus. You can go to the richest person in the world, has the most cars, the most boats, the most money, the nicest house, and the finest condos. And they lost and undone without God. Let me tell you something. When the lights go out, in the still of the night, and nobody else is around, they are very miserable and unhappy. You know, I've heard people make this statement as a kid driving from here to Belchase. When you get up around where Billy Nungesser lives and all that property, I remember when only one person owned all that property for miles. Not only miles that away, but miles that away. And I heard this statement many a times as a kid by adults saying, man, I'd be so happy if I'd own this. Listen, I had the opportunity to meet that man. I was just a teenager, but I had the opportunity to meet him. It wasn't long after I was saved. And he was the most miserable person I ever met. Because the whole time he's wondering, well, who's on my property? What are they taking from me today? What are they stealing from me now? The only way to get real peace is not in riches of this world, but it's by the blood of Jesus. Real peace only comes by the blood of Jesus. And as willing as Jesus was to do what he done, it will only come to you and I by a obedient and submissive spirit. Listen to me. If you're standing up here, you need to be communicating with the Lord. Not me. Don't wait for me to come and pray for you. You need to be communicating with the Lord. It's not because I come by and lay hands on you. It's not because somebody else will get out their seat and come behind you and hug you and pray for you. It's got to be a relationship with Jesus, through Jesus, with the Father, that he will minister to you whatever you have need of as you're standing here. You coming up here was just a sign of obedience. Listen, I prayed for people in this church so many times that if that's what it would take, there wouldn't be an empty seat here. Needless to say, how many people calls our pastor their pastor that don't even know what the inside of the building looks like? Because there's not a relationship through Jesus with the Father. We serve a loving and caring God, and he cares about you, and that's why this service went the way it went. That's why I hadn't dismissed yet. Because of grace and mercy. Listen to me. We better thank God for grace. So we better thank God for grace. Because when the children of Israel, they went to Aaron and said, make us a God that we can serve. And he took all the jewelry and he melted it down and made them an image of a calf. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, you better get down there because I'm about to destroy them all. See, right now, it's about grace. But there's coming a time we'll stand before God and it's going to be judgment. Grace won't matter anymore. It's going to be judgment. And that's what God's trying to prepare us for. The days to come, the days that we're going to live on this earth, the things that we're going to go through between now and that day. So that we won't stand before him as a judge. God's trying to keep you and I from that day of standing before him as our judge. But he wants us to enter and stand before him and him say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, because I never knew you. We'll hear one of two things, enter in or depart. The question is, what you want to hear? So let me tell you something. If we don't learn, and we don't have years, we don't have years to learn this. We don't have years to have services like this to where God's arms extended. Because the time is very short. Listen, it seems like last night was the New Year service and already we're at the end of the month. Time is slipping away at a high rate of speed. That's why it's so important. To walk with God daily. Every hour, every moment, every minute of the day, walk with God. Knowing where our strength comes from. We're not going to get it going here and there. We need to find ourselves rooted and grounded in God. Because the foundations is going to be shaken. Said the foundation will be shaken. See, I've been in a building that shook. I've been in a building that moved. But it withstood the storm. And it might seem like we're swaying. It might seem like we kind of moved this away, or we kind of moved that away, or we kind of went this away or this away. But the fact of the matter is, are we still standing next to God when a storm's over? You know, it might sway us. It might move us. But it can't move our foundation. Our foundation has to be firm. Because if you're standing there and I just come up to you and I push you, no doubt it's going to move you. But the question is, where are you rooted and grounded? You know, if I come up to somebody and push you and you move and it allows you to lose who you were, before the push, something's wrong with us. But we got to be rooted and grounded on that foundation, which is the chief cornerstone, is Jesus. You find you a corner. And you start leveling it out. You start squaring it up. And the only true corner to level it up and square it up to is Jesus. But we got to want it. Let's all stand. Those of you that came up here, stand firm. Stand firm. Listen, there might be an attack from the enemy. And it might be, listen, there was times that I've left a service and on the way home, there was an attack. But I knew who I believed in. I knew where my strength came from. So stand firm. Stand firm in God and allow Him be your chief. Allow Jesus to be your chief cornerstone. And be who God called you to be. See? Listen to me. I just called you up here to come dismiss the service. But listen to me. I could have done that. There's several people that still never got out their seat. But if I'd have done that, you know what they'd have done? Walked up here. Why? Because of a man. It can't be about because of a man no more. And I believe that there's other people that the Spirit of God has let you know who these people are. Listen to me. I'm asking you to be in agreement with me that God's grace, God's mercy be extended. You want me to tell you how critical this is? This is so critical, Brother Josh, that if God wouldn't have done this and put his hand between the enemy and those people, they'd have been dead. But he put his hand down and he said, I'll not allow it. I'll not allow it. That's how critical it is. Listen, it's not too late. It's not too late. But we got to want it. So we got to want it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and dismiss.